This program has been brought to you by the Marquardt Law Firm, former prosecutor and experienced aggressive criminal defense attorney, specializing in violent crimes, drug crimes, weapon crimes, murder, fraud, white-collar crimes, DUI, and much more. Fighting vigorously to win every case at trial, call 248-545-5290. Call the offices of Marquardt now.
Said, you're smart, beautiful, creative, loyal, and humble. You're a hard worker and you're a goal-getter. Whatever you want, you work hard for it and you set goals and you always reach them. You're very supportive and you're a great listener. She says she could go on and on about the wonderful things about you, but she'll go ahead and keep it short because she knows that, you know, we're a little bit on the time limit. So,
you don't see me look crazy because once I...
In the confines of your own home with the door closed and the window shut, anything is possible, but I've never seen you not put together.
Now they're doing it. I'm pushing them in the direction that I want to push them in, that they wanted to go in. But here's the thing. If we are not walking in our calling, if we're not walking in who we're supposed to be, then we honestly can't push them to where they need to be.
Every time I see her, that she is working.
Chantony, if I can just come get it, I am fine with that.
Right?
I don't care if I have to drive to Belleville. I don't care if I'll drive to Indiana at this point.
Oh.
I just want my stuff.
I got to gather myself because Charlie... In our ears, it's always something different, you know? And I mean, always right before the come on light, it's always Charlie and a joke, okay?
Sis this, you wanna uplift, you know? But then you watch these shows where you watch women, you're entertained by women dragging each other through the mud. I don't understand.
It contradicts itself.
It's definitely contradicts.
And for me, and I'm not casting judgment on anybody because like you all, you know what I mean? I am guilty, absolutely, unequivocally guilty of watching trash television. I think we all are. But it hits a little different for me when it comes to, after getting older and like really realizing like what I'm watching and being more in tune with what I ingest, I do not really think that you can celebrate women, encourage your fellow sister, and claim to be a woman's woman and sit around and watch other women absolutely disintegrate one another in the most horrific, disgusting way.
Completely blowing up.
You kind of make me cry.
Listen, I'm so. I'm gonna go back to the comment that Nee made earlier, and Nee, I just said it. Nee said earlier. What you say, Nee?
Like people are getting younger and younger, starting these businesses. But I said it because we. You know, our parents was like, you know, go to school, go to college, get a good job, work for somebody. And then we saw it didn't really work. So like,
that's
then,
right.
And then the kids saw it didn't really work either. So they're like going out on their own ventures and doing what they feel like they have to do for themselves. And that's beautiful.
That's right.
It's beautiful.
Yeah. So I want you to tell us about yourself, Brianna. And when you tell us about yourself, we all want to be humble and telling what we have accomplished and, you know, our accolades. We really do. We all want to, you know, we're not everybody, but all of us here, you know, we kind of talk about ourselves in such a humble way. It kind of devalues who you really are and what you really have accomplished. So I want you to sell us. That's what I want you to do.
Oh my gosh.
Brag on you, boo.
No, I just want to say thank you for having me. You all are beautiful, and I just thank you so much. This is an honor. I really do appreciate it. Thank you.
We thank you.
Thank you so much.
All right, go ahead, Charlie, and play her amazing promo, please.
With the hottest band of the 90s. But where are they at now?
Sorry, this is my bed.
Oh, snap. Is that... That's you. Baby, she's famous.
Her? Really? What happened?
Because we love our Thursdays, we love my Sister Circle viewers, and we love coming to you guys with new content, with new guests, celebrating women in business, and we just love celebrating our Sister of the Week. Oh, are you there?
I am. Happy Thursday, everybody.
Hi, my love. How are you?
I'm good, sis. How are you?
I am good today. Today is a good day. How was your week?
Busy. I cannot believe today is already Thursday.
It was definitely it definitely went pretty fast this week.
I don't know what happened to Tuesday and Wednesday. All I know is I woke up on Monday and today is Thursday, but it's cool. No
problem. Right. Well, good evening, everybody, all our viewers watching. We need you guys to do one thing. Every Thursday, we ask our viewers to do one thing. We ask our viewers to like, share, and tag. Tag at least 5 to 10 people in, share with groups, share with family. Do everything that you can do for our voices to reach everybody. So we are excited today for this awesome, amazing show that everybody, and I mean everybody, has been asking us to do. Everybody has been asking us to have men on the show as guest panelists. Everybody has been waiting patiently for the show with David Mann. So this is tonight's show, A Father's Equal Rights. So we are excited that this show has finally came. And we do have David Mann as our guest today, our special guest today that we are going to do an interview with. So I'm excited about that as well. So you guys just stay tuned. Make sure you guys are tagging people in. Get that shared out to groups. And oh,
yes.
Question for you. How excited are you that men are on the show? Because you know, you were the one that kept saying, so sis, when we gonna have them? When we gonna have some men on?
You know what? I'm excited because I can listen to women talk all day long. But I think the most valuable thing is to get a different perspective. And that perspective is from our brothers. So I'm excited to hear their thought process and what they think and how they express themselves. So I'm excited about that. I'm looking forward to it.
I totally agree. So guys, you guys know what we like to do every Thursday. We like to shine light on a Sister of the Week. So our Sister of the Week this week, we are not going to, we're going to actually not, I'm not going to move too fast, but I am going to move at a speed so that we can make sure that our guest, David Mann, has a great interview so you guys can see that interview. And I'm also going to move at a speed so that we can have a good conversation with our guest panelists today, okay? So our Sister of the Week today, can you guys hear me good? All right. So our Sister of the Week today is Heidi. So today was my pick. I chose Heidi as our Sister of the Week. I actually work with Heidi, and my reason for choosing Heidi for Sister of the Week is because I am just so impressed by her genuine heart. It's like you don't meet genuine people daily. And so to know that this person, she's a genuine soul, she's ready to help everybody. I mean, I just love her heart. And
I am excited that, you know, God actually allowed us to cross paths. And we are in a place right now where we are in this path where we get to see each other every day. And so I'm just excited that I was able to choose Heidi as our Sister of the Week. So congratulations, Heidi, on being our Sister of the Week.
She is amazing. So, oh, you would love Heidi. And I mean, you would absolutely love Heidi. She is the perfect, like, you would absolutely love her. She is just so
I'm gonna have to meet you, Miss Heidi.
You have to meet Miss Heidi because Heidi is okay. She's amazing. Okay. So I definitely will definitely introduce you guys. So we are gonna take a quick commercial break. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and once we come back, we are going to introduce our guest panelists, and then we're going to go to our interview with David Mann.
This program has been brought to you by the Marquardt Law Firm, former prosecutor and experienced aggressive criminal defense attorney, specializing in violent crimes, drug crimes, weapon crimes, murder, fraud, white-collar crimes, DUI, and much more. Fighting vigorously to win every case at trial. Call 248-545-5290. Call the offices of Marquardt now.
No matter who you are, no matter where you come from, there is a force that unites us all. Join the movement and let your lips do the talking with Aide Cosmetics, available on AideCosmetics.com.
All right, so we are back, and I'm so glad that you guys are still with us on this beautiful Thursday. So I have my brother Cortez here with me. We also have two say hi, Cortez.
Y'all doing? Y'all, everybody all right?
He was just gonna leave y'all hanging.
Mm-hmm.
So, you here?
I am. Hey, Cortez, how you doing?
I'm all right. You been okay?
Good.
All right. So we have two more guests coming on from Uncomfortable Conversations podcast, and that's going to be B and Lo that are going to come on from Uncomfortable Conversation podcast. We'll let you guys know when they're on, but in the meantime, while they're coming on, so Cortez is a father of a beautiful daughter. Her name is Alana, my little baby niece. You want to tell them about yourself real quick?
Got a four-year-old daughter, 32. Just been working and trying to do the best thing for my daughter right now.
So I'll let B and Lo introduce themselves once they come on. So what we're going to do is we're going to actually go to our interview with David Mann. So before we get David Mann, before we introduce David Mann, you guys, do you guys know who David Mann is? You know, I just want to make sure everybody knows who the David Mann is. Mr. Brown, aka Mr. Brown. Yeah. All right. So guys, listen. So I don't know if you guys remember, we did this interview some time
two
ago
weeks?
Now, actually. It's been like 2 or 3 weeks, right?
Yeah, about 2 or 3 weeks.
I think so. 2 or 3 mm-hmm. weeks. So when we are doing this interview, and guys, listen, tomorrow, Bandia's Homecoming is coming out, okay? It will be on Netflix tomorrow. So you guys need to, y'all got to show up, okay? Madea was not planning on coming back. Tyler Perry wasn't bringing Madea back, but Tyler Perry brought Mr. Brown and the crew back and Madea back, okay? So Madea's Homecoming is going to be out tomorrow. So I want you guys to check out this amazing interview that me and O did with David Mann. So you can play the clip first.
Ride for the queen.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
What the hell are you doing?
I'm going to make this big for my great-grandson's graduation barbecue.
I know you want barbecue ribs, but do you have any room for a roasted brown?
What the hell? You going to buy me another damn tree.
My baby is graduating.
I am so proud of you.
Thank you for letting me stay here.
Come here any time you want, day or night. As long as you don't stay too long. You're leaving right after graduation, right, baby?
We're cut to forever.
Who is this?
I'm just brown.
I'm a brown too.
No, you're more black.
Y'all hear about the break loot now.
There's the legal way, then there's the Medea.
Brawless and lawless. Ooh.
Sometimes just gotta do crazy stuff.
Get a fly!
Should've got a video. It was December 1st, 1955. I was young and sex, I was 20 years old.
So if you were 20 back then, you'd be about 95 by now?
Black don't crack, unless you're using it. Jesus, the Lord God Almighty, He can turn water into wine.
Yes, he did.
I got to go to the liquor store to get mine. Won't somebody praise him?
You know, preparing for another movie is crazy. You know, we're lightning speed over here at TPS Studio, but it's fun. Like when you get back together with, you know, people you've worked with, I don't know if you guys know, but we've been working together since 1999. And I just realized that the other day. It's like, wow, you know, that's a long time. Yeah, since 1999.
What? That is a long time, and majority of the same cast, correct?
Yeah, well, you know, Tyler, myself, my wife, and Cassie, we're the old heads. We're all the old ones. So, you know, there's a few other people that's been sprinkled in, but we're the mainstay folk in there.
Y'all the matriarchs of Medea. Y'all the
auntie. Yeah.
Y'all the aunties and uncles of the Medea, the original.
What's crazy is like we're in the middle of shooting Assistant Living and a couple other shows at TPS Studio, and I see some of the younger people, like he has this show called The Queen's Men, and they're like, oh, we grew up watching you. And I'm like, wait a minute. So when you think about it, some of these kids are 25 years old, and we've been doing this over 22 years, so they grew up looking at us.
Wow, that is just amazing. So I understand that you executive produce your own things as well, right?
A little bit of something, yeah. We have movies, a couple television shows, and so just trying to stay in the mix.
I mean, even you guys have Man TV, so you guys even executive produce that as a family, correct?
Right, and we're putting out content. We just released Mama Man's Kitchen, where my wife is in the kitchen. We finally got in the kitchen cooking. People don't know for years she can cook. And so we finally got her in the kitchen cooking. And we have Man Family Dinner, which was our first show on there, Man Family Dinner. It's just our family sitting around the table, just telling, sometimes too much. But we're just having a great family conversation. And we have some other shows that are coming that we have one that we just recorded with my daughters.
Okay.
It's called Sip on That. It's called Sip on That. And it's for your adult ladies.
Oh.
That's what I'll say.
I like
with
the
that
sound
one.
Of it already.
Why y'all say, oh yeah. Oh.
I like the sound of it already.
They don't even want me and mama in there while they're recording it. And so we just, y'all do y'all thing and we'll watch it with everybody else. But it's a really good show. The format is good. It's ladies, young ladies, just sitting around having conversation about A to Z. And when I tell you about A to Z.
Seems like I'm going to be tuned in every time it come on.
Yeah. It's called Sip on
That. I love that. So, oh, you have some questions for Mr. Man, because this is my lovely co-host. Oh, she's actually she's working from home right now, so she wanted to tap in as well. So she's trying to do multitask right now.
I know. I'm so sorry. Mr. Man, thank you for being here. This is the coolest experience probably of my life. So it's so nice to meet you.
Well, thank you guys for having us. Thank you for being here.
So my host already asked you about you executive producing, and also you wrote a book. Can you tell us about that?
The book is called Us Against the World, Our Secrets to Love, Marriage, and Family. And what we wanted to do is give people a little insight to our journey in this industry, because we all know this industry is an industry that, you know, people change people like they change underwear. And so we just wanted to give a little insight on not only how we're surviving in this industry, but how we're thriving in this industry as a married couple. And we just wanted to show people how we do it. Not a perfect way, because we don't have a perfect marriage, but what we are, we're a work in progress. And we're just showing people, giving people some of our tips and some of our secrets and how we make it, how we make this thing work in this industry that is known for divorce. Like, you'll see somebody with somebody Thursday and there'll be somebody else Monday. Engaged.
That's true. Mm-hmm.
Right. That's true. How you break up Monday and you engage Thursday? And so we share some of our tips. You know, one of the things is we work in this game together, and mm-hmm. that's rare. We understand, and I think sometimes we take it for granted because it's our norm, but it's not normal for a couple to work together, play together, live together, sleep together. It's not right. normal. And so we're just showing people it can be done. Like I say, it's not a perfect partnership, but what we do is we've learned that it's a work in progress.
I love that. So even having to be married to your wife for so long, what advice do you have for a fruitful marriage? Because I've been married for 9 years, and I mean, it's some days. It's some days.
It's some weeks. Months.
It's some months. It's some months where I be like, you know what? So what advice can you give us for a fruitful marriage?
One of the keys is, and I know people say this all the time, is one of the keys is learning how to communicate with each other. You know, we learn how to communicate as it relates to our job, as it relates to other people outside, but we often neglect the way that we communicate with our spouse. There is an art to communicating. If you're communicating just so you can be heard and point blank, period, and you know, if you're communicating for that, if you're not communicating so we can just straight and strictly get an understanding and figure out how we move forward, you're not communicating the right way, because you're just communicating so I can get my point. Communicating mm-hmm. is not to get your point. It's to figure out, okay, how do we communicate to where we can, you know, reason together? And, you know, we often get that mixed up with, let us reason together. Let us figure this out. That's it.
Right.
It's
right.
simple. We just, I say it's simple, but it's difficult because a lot of times we can get a little stubborn and bullheaded and like, you know, this is my way and this is how I do it and this is how I've been doing it. But marriage is the ultimate compromise. It is like, it's the ultimate compromise because you can't get your way all the time. It's like, let's figure out, my way, this is what I do, is my deal is to make sure my woman has everything she needs.
I love
now,
that.
The flip side of that is she does the same for me. That's the flip side, is we make sure, you know, we try to make sure every need is met and nothing goes lacking, so it makes the communication easier. And this is one tip that we talk about in the book, is every year we go and revisit our vows. We'll go and simply go back and reiterate those things that we said I do to, because sometimes when it's one of those months, like you said, we forget that we made this commitment to death do us part. We forget that we said in sickness and health. We forget, for richer for poor, we forget to cherish each other. Now, when we talk about cherishing each other, that means to hold you dear. I hold you like to the highest, biggest we can get is you. And we forget that sometimes.
I absolutely love that. And that actually helped me a lot, because we haven't revisited our vows. I mean, it's 9 years. We've never revisited our vows. So that is something I think that it's important, because there's valuable things in those vows. So that was great. Thank you.
Let me ask you something. That day, do you even remember saying them? You were so, yes. It was just so much going on that day. It was just like, a lot of people don't even remember saying
parts of them. I don't remember all of it, but I do remember parts of it. But I more remember the nervousness of this is forever.
Yeah, that's why it's good to go and revisit that. That's why it's good to go, because that day, we honest with ourselves, that day was crazy. It was like, mm-hmm. Number one, you were standing up there, you was hungry, you probably had to use the bathroom, you were irritated because something didn't happen. You was now that's why it's good. That's why it's good when everything's calmed down. Let's just simply sit down and see what we made this commitment to. And you'll be surprised, like, whew, I don't know. Maybe we probably should have negotiated that.
Ooh, I love that. Really?
Yeah. So it's good to revisit that. That's one of our big things.
I'm definitely interested in the book. I'm actually gonna leave after this interview, and I'm gonna go pick it up actually when I go pick my daughter up from school. So next time you see me, you're gonna be like, "Oh, she really got the book," because I'm really gonna go.
And also, you know, the audio version is good too, because we got a chance. You know, I love telling stories. I'm a storyteller. So when I got the opportunity to sit and read the book and tell the stories in the book, as opposed to you reading them, you get to hear them how I put my twist on them. You know, I didn't just read it, okay. You know, verbatim.
I like
that. I put you there in the moment. So the audio version is good too. There's some times in the audio version. Yeah. Well, both of us, there's some times you laugh, and there's definitely some times you're going to cry from just listening to us tell our story.
That's amazing. Well, I have one more question before I ask you this. It's not even on our question list, but how often do you guys hear people say that you guys are couple goals?
Mm-hmm.
A lot. And, you know, and you know, it's a good thing, you know, but when I tell people we're not a perfect couple, the thing is, if we mess up, more people are going to know about it than you.
Right.
Than yours. But
right.
For us, you know, it's okay. Because I want to be an example. We have so much that steers us the opposite way. I'm okay being that one to show you it can work. Mm-hmm. We both come from single parent homes. We both, you know, neither one of us had nothing when we got married. We grew up with nothing. Mm-hmm. So to show people, like, if it could happen for us and we can make it work. Anybody can make it work. You just gotta work at it. Marriage is one of the hardest jobs you will ever have, but it's the most gratifying job you will ever have. It's the most gratifying thing that you will ever encounter. I love it. 34 years. I keep telling her it's getting gooder and gooder.
I love that.
Yeah, it's getting better and better for us. As we grow into this next stage of ours, like I said, it's coming up 34 years in April. It's just amazing.
34
we're
years.
We're really living our, yeah, we're living our best life. This is like,
that's
we're
a
living
blessing.
What you, we live in now what we worked all of those years. We're getting there now. Mm. We're empty nesters. We go and come as we please. We sit and we just take care of each other. When we became empty nesters, I used to always ask her, like, who are we going to take care of now? Because we're so used to taking care of people. She said, we're going to take care of each other. And I was like, duh. And that's what we've been doing. We empty nesters and we, hey, when I tell you it's, you know, sometimes you don't have words. It's like, it's, mm-hmm.
It's the life. It's the life, huh? I love it. So I know you're a busy man, and you guys are in the middle of recording. So O has one more question for you, and then we're gonna let you go.
I think that was our last question, was about the book, and then upcoming.
Go ahead.
Upcoming projects that you have coming out.
Well, like Stand the, up. Madea's homecoming. I'm doing stand-up. Currently have a few things in the works with doing some more stand-up. A lot of people don't even know I do stand-up, you know. I'm doing that. Yeah, more music, more movies. Madea's Homecoming, I'm telling y'all, this movie is crazy. What he wanted to do, because it's just so much going on in the world, he wanted a movie where people would just simply laugh. This movie is just to make you laugh. Has some good stories. Of course, you know, any Tyler Perry movie is going to have that storyline in it. But this movie is laugh, laugh, laugh. I can't give it away, but it's some, when I tell you some crazy stuff, it's some crazy stuff to where we had to stop and say, we done messed that scene up because we laughed.
Oh, my gosh.
We literally, there were some scenes that we had to stop and like, okay, we got to do that again because we laughed. So the audience, I'll tell y'all, y'all not
one
ready.
Joke. Give us one joke.
I'll tell y'all this. Mr. Brown catches on fire. Yes.
Catches on fire?
Like full fire. On fire. Flame up in
as if
on
Mr. Brown
fire.
Don't get ashy enough, you gonna catch on fire. Right.
When I tell you it's the craziest thing, and how he catches on fire is what's dumb. But this
what?
Movie, it has some, and there's also, without giving it away, there's also a Mrs. Brown in the movie.
Oh,
not what you think?
Okay.
Not what you think, though.
Okay.
But yeah,
okay.
It's a character that's called Mrs. Brown, and when I tell you over the top, we think Madea's crazy. This one is crazy.
Oh,
yes,
no,
it's the Irish.
Wait.
It's the Irish equivalent. It's a white character. It's an Irish equivalent of Madea.
Oh,
and
what?
We had to do like we had to. You think we have to dial Madea back? Oh, we had to say, that's a little, whew.
So we had to say, well, I cannot wait.
No, I'm telling, we had to dial this one back some. She was so, like, over the top. It was like, we don't know if we can get away with that. So it got crazy, yeah. And she likes Mr. Brown.
Okay.
Yeah. So
Mr. Brown got a love interest now.
It's about time, Mr. Brown, get somebody.
I seen that the release is February 25th. Are we still looking for that date, or is this a different date, or can we look for
February 25th. February 25th.
Yes.
Netflix.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So,
February 25th. I can't wait for people to see it. I'll just say y'all not ready for this, my dear.
We not ready?
Not for this, my dear. Y'all not ready.
I'm never ready. All right. Well, it was an honor.
I'll say this when I give her. My dear could go on tour musically after this.
Oh. What?
I'll leave it there.
Musically? I definitely ain't ready.
That's called,
not ready.
That's called a teaser right there.
Right. What? My dear about to be rapping? This is too much. Well,
yeah.
Mr. Dankman, it was our pleasure to have you on My Sister's Circle. We appreciate you. We honor you for all the work that you put in over the years. It's just been amazing to watch. When we got the call about you coming on, I mean, we had our moments, but we honor you because it's not every day that you have a man of great stature that continues to stay positive all the years that you have been putting out content. And I mean, and you, the laughter that you give us is pure, it's positive, it's encouraging, and it uplifts without doing any cussing, any, you know, it's just, yeah. I'm amazed that you've gone far and it stayed so pure.
That's who I am. Thank you guys so much for having me. I really appreciate
it. Thank you. All right, we'll
y'all take care. Be blessed now.
You can come on anytime,
okay.
And we will be getting that book, and we will be seeing Madea's Christmas February 25th. You guys, make sure you tune in.
Now, Madea's homecoming. Madea's homecoming.
Madea's homecoming. February 25th.
Uh huh. Okay, we'll see you guys. Y'all take care.
You too. Bye.
Thank you.
This program has been brought to you by the Marquardt Law Firm, former prosecutor and experienced aggressive criminal defense attorney, specializing in violent crimes, drug crimes, weapon crimes, murder, fraud, white-collar crimes, DUI, and much more. Fighting vigorously to win every case at trial, call 248-545-5290. Call the offices of Marquardt now.
All right, welcome back, guys, to My Sister's Circle. If you guys are tuning in, then you guys know that we did just have the amazing, talented, hilarious David Mann on. We did that interview a couple weeks ago, and that was such an amazing interview. So, you guys, I want you to make sure that you tune in tomorrow on Netflix. Make sure you tune in tomorrow on Netflix for Madea's Homecoming. It is going to be out tomorrow. So I know you guys are looking forward to that. I'm excited about that. And guys, go out and get his book. Make sure you guys tune in to his wife's cooking channel. They have that on The Man TV on YouTube. Guys, make sure you guys tune in to their daughter's shows. Just guys, make sure you support them, because like I said in the interview, it's not every day that we have a man that's comes on and brings us positive content, clean content, and it's funny. He doesn't have to cuss to get his point across. He doesn't have to cuss for us to laugh. He doesn't have to be negative for us to laugh. He just brings pure, funny comedy, and I mean, and just he's a genuine soul. So you guys seen how laid back that interview was. I mean, it was just an amazing interview. So shout out to my director and talent promoter. I won't say her name right now, but because I'm not sure if that's something that she wants me to do, but definitely shout out to her. I'll say her name. Shout out to Serenity. Thank you so much, Serenity. We love you over here in My Sister Circle. You are incredible, and you are definitely somebody that I will recommend, because you bring those people into us, okay? So we're going to go to a quick commercial break before we bring on our other two guests. Actually, are they here? If they're here, then we can keep going. So I am going to, okay. So,
I'm here.
Hello, Brandon. Hey, B. Can you hear us, B? Okay.
I hear you guys.
So, okay, perfect. All right. Turn your phone sideways for me, B. Turn your phone sideways for me. Nope, I want you to turn it completely sideways. Like, take it off the stand and then turn it sideways. Oh, okay. Perfect. Thank you so much. I appreciate you for that.
Okay. No problem.
No, you had it right. Perfect. All right. So today's topic is a father's equal rights. All right. So we're trying to get low on this. While we're trying to get low on, B, I want you to introduce yourself.
How you doing, everybody? My name is Brandon Todd, also known as B Todd, and I'm one half of the Uncomfortable Stations podcast with my cousin. And also, I have my own channel called LFM TV's Learning From My Mistakes. And I just want to encourage everybody to make better choices.
Why did you choose that name? Real quick, tell
me
that.
I chose that name because I made a lot of mistakes in my life, and I just wanted to help people not go down the same path as I did. And
that's an amazing name. That's a really good name. So learning from my mistakes, I like that.
Thank you.
All right, so we gonna jump right into the topic. So Cortez, B, a father's equal rights. When you hear a father's equal rights, so I'm gonna tell you this part first. So what we're gonna do, you know, on My Sister Circle is about uplifting women, encouraging women, effective sisterhood and things like that. So we've never had a guest panelist of men, but we thought that it was very important for all of our viewers and then you guys also to have a safe space to come on and discuss a father's equal rights from your perspective. Because we can't, as women, as mothers, we can't say what we think to be a father's equal rights is. Now, when we hear the word equal, we want to say, look at equal and say that equal means, you know, we get the same. It's split down the middle, 50-50. But from your perspective, we want to know what your perspective is. So what we're going to do today is me and O, we're going to kind of guide you guys on what we want to talk about, but we're going to let you have the platform and let this be a safe space for you. So I'm going to give you guys the rules of this safe space, though, okay? So, okay. No bashing your baby mothers. That's number one. No profanity. No, that's number two. No matter how passionate you are, how much you start thinking about something that could have triggered you, no profanity, okay? And then at the end there of everything that you guys talk about, I want to, okay, so we got Lo on. Hey, Lo, how are you?
Hey, y'all doing? Man, there's so many technical difficulties trying to get on the show.
That's okay. I'm laying out the rules real quick. So no matter how passionate you are about whatever you guys talk about, you cannot use profanity and you cannot bash your baby mother. You cannot bash the mother of your child on My Sister Circle. We won't do that. Okay?
Okay.
No matter how bad it is, because I truly do understand each and every one of y'all situations. And as a matter of fact, on each and every one of y'all situations, I'm on y'all side, 100%. But for the integrity of our show, My Sister Circle, we have to make sure that women are protected far as their character, their integrity as well. Understand?
Absolutely.
Everybody got it?
Understood.
All right. So what we gonna start off with? So when you hear a father's equal rights, what does that mean to you, Lo?
Father's equal rights is just basically equality on basically the control of the child or the children, in my opinion. You know, a lot of things have been unfair when it comes to the court system. It's always automatic. You know, the child goes with the mother, but I think it should be split 50-50 equally on a custodial level, not just joint, but on a custodial level, definitely it should just be split 50-50. And that to me seems more fair than just always, you know, everything just going towards the mom or everything just leaning towards the mother. You know, I'm in a space where I don't have to bash my co-parent anymore. You know, I was in that space, but, you know, a lot of things are very unfair for us. You know, especially being in Michigan, you know, sometimes, you know, the cases, and I've looked at this, the statistics, you know, everything goes towards just, you know, the moms. And granted, you know, some fathers don't have their, you know, stuff together much, but, you know, the ones that do, you know, we get hung because of them. Or, you know, the statistics, hey, you got to go with the mom. But, yeah, equal rights for me, well, as far as the fathers, I think everything should be split, you know, half and half.
I totally agree with. So, Cortez, what do you think on that about a father's equal rights?
Hey, you pretty much hit the nail on the head with it. Say it shouldn't be the courts. I feel like the courts shouldn't determine who all the responsibility goes on versus who the financial part goes on, because that's kind of like the child's always going with the mother and the guy, and the father is usually stuck with the court finances and the court. I definitely agree. This split it up. I think that definitely would be better for the child as well as both sides of the parenting.
B, what you think on that?
I feel the same exact way. Like, I feel like it should be equal, because it took two people to make those children. So those two people should be both equally involved in those children's life. So I feel like it should be some type of fairness going on as far as the fathers are concerned, but unfortunately it doesn't work that way.
Okay, and just so you guys know that are watching, this show is based off a father that wants to be in their children's lives. This show today isn't based off a father that's not involved in their child's life or doesn't want any parts. But this show is mainly speaking on the fairness of a father when a father wants to be involved in his children's lives. Because when Lo said, you know, it shouldn't be based off of what the courts, you should be able to be able to have the a level of maturity. You shouldn't allow bitterness. You shouldn't allow what you feel that that father should bring. You shouldn't allow that to dictate his rights as being that child's father, because you are dictating something that, honestly, at the end of the day, like B said, it did take two people to make this child. So how can you dictate what you want, the role that you want me to play in my child's life? And a lot of times I think that unforgiveness, bitterness, and those things play such a large role in that situation. And you forget about the child because you're focused on the unforgiveness that you're dealing with as of the mother. I'm speaking on the mother. They deal with that unforgiveness and they forget that this is about the child, but they no longer care that this is about the child because it's about them at that moment. It's about how you made them feel, guys, how y'all made them feel, and what they're going to do to you because of how you made them feel. So, do you have anything on that?
I think what you said is accurate. I think a lot of the time it stems from unforgiveness and maybe some unhealed wounds within the woman. And the man too. But I think it's a point of her not being able to fully realize that the relationship has ended. And a lot of women take the realization that that part of them and the togetherness that you had with each other, that part is ended. And because sometimes we're not educated on how to deal with things that are traumatic to us, like the ending of a relationship and having a child with someone, I think a lot of the times we vent out of frustration and take it out in different areas of our lives that affect us in a negative way that also ultimately affects our children. So it's not understanding what your triggers are, not understanding how to really cope or comprehend or even vocalize what's bothering you. And then venting those frustrations in an unhealthy way that ultimately affect everyone involved in a negative manner.
Yep. Absolutely.
I agree with that.
So, let's take some steps back. So when you guys had children, do you guys think that you dealt with postpartum? Because, you know, men have postpartum. So do you guys, we'll start with Cortez, do you think that you dealt with postpartum? Because a lot of times in postpartum, what we call baby blues, women deal with it with sadness and depression and things of that nature, and you kind of go to a place where you can't operate as a mother. But for fathers, do you guys think that you dealt with that type of being aggressive or irritable or taking a step back? Because I think what happens with fathers, and I'm gonna say this, but I'm not saying that that you guys aren't good fathers, but I think with fathers all over the world, that although you can be a great father, I think that because fathers play such a total different role, and they play more of a providing role, and we as mothers play the nurturing, we play the role of a nurturer. I think a lot of times father has more space or more opportunity to step back, to take a step back and try to get their selves together or whatever they're going through. You know, a lot of times they have that time where they can leave. They can go do what they want to do. And I'm not saying that they never come back. I'm just saying they can go do what they please while the woman is home. But do you guys think that you dealt with men postpartum?
Yeah, I think some men go through just in a different aspect, or just in a form where we really can't express it how we should be able to. Like you say, men are the provider. So even if a man is dealing with the postpartum, going through a depressing phase, it's like you still have to provide for that family, still have to provide for this woman and the child. So it's not really like you can take a step back or, you know what I'm saying, kind of deal with or get some help with the depression or the postpartum, because you still have the family to provide for. You can't just put the stuff to the side because still have to feed the baby, still have to make sure the bills are taken care of. So I think it's we both go through it. It just, we all go through it in a different way. Just more so, it's more focused on when the woman does it, because it's more so a body and mental. But guys, I think it's more of a mental, more of a mental part. But I definitely believe that guys do go through it, and that could even be the reason for some guys that's so-called the deadbeats. Maybe they just don't know how to deal with the whole family. So dang, I was going around partying, doing what I want to, and now I got a woman and a child at home. I don't know how to deal with that, so I'm going to run away. And I believe that's a part of depression as well. So it's a different form, but guys never speak on it. Don't nobody never want to talk about it. So it kind of never really gets anywhere, and it makes us kind of look bad.
So it's almost like you don't have, it's like you don't have a safe space after the child is born. Like the mother goes through the laboring part of delivering the child, but then there's a huge emotional shift for both of you because she's given birth. You now have the realization that you are responsible for not just you, but you are responsible for a little life. And then whatever it is she's feeling with dealing with actual postpartum and after having a child, you all are not capable of having the space to express your concerns about being the head of a household if you are, taking on the responsibility of raising a child and making sure that you are setting a good example, plus financially supplying both the mother's needs and the child's needs. So your postpartum, and then I guess in essence, would be the anxiety of the new situation, a new baby, not wanting to fail the child or the mother. And I think in some instances, maybe a man who's not able to vent, like vocalize that in a way, or feels like it's cowardly or maybe looked on like you're weak, would either step up to the plate or either retreat in that situation.
You guys can step in. At any time.
I believe that. Oh, go ahead, Lo.
No, I was gonna say, for me, honestly, I don't even think I dealt with postpartum. It's more so dealing with it with my co-parent, dealing with her postpartum. For me, because I didn't shy away from anything. I already knew what it was when the 9 months was here. I was preparing myself mentally, like, all right, this is what I have to set myself up to do. I have to make sure I'm financially stable. I can support myself, I can support her, and I can support, you know, the child. So everything was like pre-planned for me, and I already had things in place. And then with the job that I had just received, you know, I had just started my engineer career, so I wasn't even really worried about financial things, and I went with it head on. And honestly, for the first, I would say 7 months, or say 8 months, I was taking care of the child. Yes, it was stressful because she was in school at the time and she was working part time. So I had to pick up my son from daycare after I got off work, pick him up, make sure he's, you know, good in the home, had to clean the kitchen, cook for us, make sure he has his bottle. Roles were reversed. Yeah, roles were reversed for a while. So the stress and the respect for women taking care of kids, it got to a whole new level because it was hard. I'm not going to lie. That was a difficult task. And I respect all single mothers who do that from start to finish. So that was my role in it. And I was pretty much just preparing myself. And I don't think for myself I had postpartum. And if I did, I didn't recognize it at all. But more so for her postpartum, I was trying to not to personalize her behavior, not try to, you know, take offense to whatever she was feeling that day, because it varies. You know, when you're dealing with depression, it's uncontrollable. You can act, you could be hot one day, then you could be cold the next. It's like a faucet. So I just took it a day at a time, made sure I did my part, and kept it moving that way. That's for me.
For me, I don't believe I went through postpartum. I did, however, go through a depression, and I didn't realize it was a depression until later on. It wasn't with my son, though. With my son, I was ecstatic, you know? That's my boy, my first son, you know? Like, I was happy as ever. But when my daughter came into the picture is when I noticed a shift in my energy, because By the time my daughter got here, we weren't right. And I knew we weren't right beforehand. And yet it was like, oh man, I'm bringing the child in this world, another child in this world, and things are not right with who I'm with at the time. So, you know, part of my depression, I just started spending money on like really stupid things. Like I blew money like crazy. And by the time I realized it, like what my problem was, I was like, oh wow, this is what depression feels like. I just didn't recognize it as me going through a depression. So once I went through all of that, I just basically tried to get myself back together on track. And, you know, I still had kids to take care of, but obviously through a split up with kids, a lot of drama was created. So I just did what I could to, you know, handle the situation the best way I could. And, you know, I tried my best to just leave everything in God's hands, and hopefully he led me to another direction to where things can go a little smoothly. But unfortunately, it didn't go like that at all.
So when we talk about accountability, I know we talked about fathers equal rights being 50-50. But when we talk about, when we honestly sit and think, because and I'm touching on this because of what Lo just said, how roles were reversed. But when we talk about accountability in a father, do you think that a father, in his mind, he takes on the same accountability as a mother? I'm talking about from start to finish. Everything that Lo just mentioned, he had to pick up his child from daycare. He had to cook. He had to do everything that he had to do, because now she's doing, you know, she's going to school. She's doing this. She's doing that. So do you think that you guys as fathers say, I am accountable for the exact same things that my wife, my girlfriend, my kid's mother is accountable for?
I would say no. Because at the beginning stage, women are the nurturers. So it's like babies more so need to be with the mothers, all so to speak. With the fathers, you know, all we can do is rock them, feed them, the breast milk, and rock them to sleep. But, you know, with the mothers, it's a different feel, you know, with babies and connecting and all of that. It's a whole amount of responsibility for a mother versus a father. You know, in our sense, we just, as you say in the beginning, like, you know, we're providing, we're protecting, and that's just what we focus on, just that role, but not the role of what the mother should do. Like me doing all of those responsibilities of picking my son up and having to feed him, give him a bath, get him in the bed and all of that. Like I struggled. Like it was a mental struggle because every day was a stressful thing, you know, just getting off work. Then you got to do this. It was something different, I'll say, but I don't think so though. I don't think we take accountability like the women do.
So before the next person even answers that, so could it possibly be that women, let's step outside of a bitter woman, but let's say, could it possibly be that because of this exact reason that the accountability isn't the same, could it possibly be that a woman steps in and says, as a mother, I don't feel that it's equal rights because I'm accountable for 75-80% of this child, and you're accountable for 20%. And I'm just saying a number, but could it possibly be that that's the mindset that someone that's not bitter, that someone that's not dealing with unforgiveness, could it be that that's what they deal with in their mind? They're like, well, I do this, I do that, I do this, and I do that. So of course it'll be me that's making the major decisions, and it'll be me that's saying what can go and what can't go. Do you guys think that that's a possibility?
Yeah, I do believe that's a possibility. Speaking from somebody that's, like you said, not bitter. Yeah, absolutely.
I think so too.
Because every woman isn't bitter. Every woman isn't right. Dealing with unforgiveness. That's saying, okay, you know, you can see the child. Here's the schedule here. that every woman is not bitter. Every woman is not dealing with, she's not missing you or trying to piss you off or not. Every woman isn't like that. But I do think that sometimes because we are used to, okay, and this goes back. If you just go back to years and years of our ancestors, we women, we took on the bulk of the responsibility. But I think the problem is communication is missed. Because I think that if the communication says, okay, I'm pissed off at you. We broke up. I'm pissed. I'm feeling this way. And these are the things that I expect from you. These are the things that I want to happen. But what happens is, like I said earlier, that bitterness and that unforgiveness takes over. And then when it's dealing with the woman that's not bitter and that's not dealing with unforgiveness, she just automatically goes back into independent mode.
Women naturally, I think, keep record of what they're doing when they have children, right? So not only are we paying attention to how we're responding as being new mothers, we're also watching at how invested you are in taking care of your child. So even though we're together and we may be a couple, we are watching how you interact, if you are physically and mentally present, or if you are like, okay, well, the mom's here, she'll take over and I'm going to go and retreat. Women keep track, I think, of those types of things. I know as a mother, I did. I definitely watched like, okay, you know, we've had this baby. I had two babies at one time, twins. So maybe that's a little different. Nevertheless, babies. So you keep track of what your significant other or whoever, you know, however you label them, you watch what they do. And I think a lot of women predicate their choices on taking the full responsibility of that child based on how you all behave. And I mean that respectfully, based on how you all behave in the beginning stages. I don't think any mother wants to leave their child with someone who is not giving 110% like she is. And a lot of men, I think, allow women to take over in that area because, like Dawana said, we're labeled as the caregiver. It's our responsibility to breastfeed and change and bathe and watch. And then you all are kind of like left over in the shallow end of the pool, and you're only brought back when the mother is exhausted and we need you to give us a break, when we both should be working cohesively together at the same time.
Thanks. Absolutely. I agree with that. You know what? Honestly, that's a good thing you said. Oh, hope you don't mind me calling you that.
No, but, not at all.
Now, my wife, she, you know, she had to learn that the hard way because she was there all the time with her two children. You know, she nurtured them, she bathed them, she did everything. She taught them everything they know as far as math, English, reading, all of that. Like, she did a very good job with her children. And, you know, when it was the split up and, you know, the father, he remarried and, you know, now it's you have to share the kids now. You know, you have to, your weekend, my week, your week. And it was hard for her to let go because she was the more so one doing everything for so long. She didn't feel as though that, you know, he needed that time or much time as he wanted, because it was like, dude, you didn't do anything when we were together. So why should I give you or give up some of my time or half of my time with the kids because you moved on and now you want to be a father? So that's something that she had to learn in a harder sense, though. But after that, you know, everything got a little smoother and everything is, you know, on a good co-parenting end for them.
That's good.
Thank God.
All right, guys, I want you guys to talk about child support. And O and I are going to just listen. Because child support is not something that women typically deal with. So I don't want to talk at all. I want you guys to talk amongst yourselves and then we'll intervene if we need to. But I want you guys to talk about child support. What is child support? You're like, I want you guys to talk about it overall. Even in the sense of if you are in your child's life financially, already in your child's life, and she's requesting more. Because here's one of the things that it bothers me. It bothers me when a woman wants to dictate your money. Okay? It burns me when a woman wants to dictate the father's money and how he cares for his child. Now, I'm not saying that a mother shouldn't, because it should be open communication, where a woman should be able to say, a mother should be able to say, here is daycare costs, here is the clothes for the month, or the clothes for the, here's, she needs this month, her daycare is this much, her medication is this much, his medication, his football fees are this, her cheer fees are this. And then we have a conversation and we say, here's what we can take care of together. But by no means do I think that it's fair when a woman says, this is what I need from you, or you can't see your child, or this is what, I know how much you make, I remember. I think it's wrong. I think it's out of line.
Yeah.
So I want definitely you guys to discuss child support. And any, B, you can start.
Okay. Well, I honestly didn't even understand why I got put on child support in the first place. I was always there for my son and my daughter. But prior to my daughter, I was always there for my son. I was always buying him stuff, taking care of him, making sure he was good. When my daughter came, I did the same exact thing. So I believe, honestly, and I'm not bashing, my kid's mother put me on child support just to mess with my money, honestly. Like, I don't think she knows good and well what I can do as a father. She's watched me with him. I was so hands-on with my son. Like, sometimes more hands-on than what she might have been, honestly. So there was no reason to put me on child support. I know where it was coming from. I knew it was coming from a vindictive place. So once I got put in that predicament, it was all about, okay, well, now that I'm paying a certain amount of money a month, and I know it's not fair, what do I do next? So the next move was, okay, I need to show the courts that this woman is capable of making X amount of money without my money being involved. Because she's a nurse, she's a nurse, and at the time, I was a hilo driver at a plant. So our money, she made more than me hourly. However, because I work more, it looked like I made the most money. You see what I'm saying? So by the time she took me to court, boom, it was like, oh, okay, well, you can pay all of this. I'm like, what? How do you want me to survive?
Yeah.
and I'm paying her this. So it was a struggle. I'm not going to lie. It was a struggle. I was going through it. I was having some thoughts that I had to ask God to forgive me for. But some time went by, and I was able to go to court and fight that. Things got knocked down to, I'm going to say, a fair exchange as far as child support is concerned, because the only way I could get off, honestly, is if she take me off. She's not going to do that. So once I went to court, fought her, and let the courts know, hey, listen, this woman makes X amount of dollars. She doesn't even need my money. However, we're here. Okay, let's make this money that she's getting from me fair. And that's how we handled it.
Me, child support is a ripoff. I hate it. I don't like child support because in the beginning, I had the idea that child support was just strictly money and for the child. Clothing, whatever he wants, that money is strictly for him. But how it's utilized and how women can use it, they can use it for their bills, the car notes, all of these other things that don't have nothing to do, in my opinion, for the child. So the fact that in the literature that you can pay the bills, pay your rent, mortgages, and all of that with my money, basically what you're doing is I'm paying room and board for my son. Why not we have just 50-50 custodial custody? He lives with me 1 week, he lives with you 1 week, and nobody's paying nobody money for child support. Because if I had sole custody of my son, I don't want your money. I don't need it. So therefore, why should I have to give it? Why should I have to give you child support? Like, Anna, especially for the stuff that I've done and been around to do. Like, I've done pretty much everything. I paid for daycare, I paid the rent, I paid all the bills, I got you co-signed for two cars. Like, I did so much. For now, I'm on child support. And then I'm paying a ridiculously amount of child support. Like, I'm in Washtenaw County at the time. And the amount that I was paying was basically for two kids. just for one, $1,000 a month. I was paying her $11,000 a year for the first 4 years. Now, what does $1,000 a month, what does a kid need that? Right? Especially when he's 3, 4 years old. That's not much water he's going to use. That's not much trash. It's not $1,000 worth of trash he's going to use. Like, it's ridiculous, in my opinion. Like, it's not even across the board. And that's what makes it frustrating for a lot of men. That's why men pull these moves where they quit their jobs or they do things to under the table so their money is not accounted for, because it's like, how are we going to live? You know how much I was struggling paying this girl $1,000 a month, paying $800-something for my car insurance, or my apartment, and paying $400-something on car insurance and the car note too as well, even though I managed to do it, but still it was a struggle and it was unfair, and I had to do other things to accommodate that money that I was giving for her.
How would you want the kids to use
this money willy-nilly any way you want, but if I don't give it, I'm gonna go to jail. It's not fair.
Right.
I don't like.
Yeah. And that's what I was saying. How would you like the kids?
No, I agree. Oh, go ahead. Like you said, we gotta do other stuff to account for the money, so just so we can live stable. And then that comes in play. Now we don't have no time to come see the kids. Well, you know what I'm saying? You're taking all this money for child support out, so I still gotta maintain a stable living for myself. So I gotta work an extra hour. I gotta work an extra job or some side hustle or something under the table. But now that's taking time more away from that time we spend with the kid. So it's kind of like a bad label altogether.
So I want to say something though about something that Lo said. So I do think that they do make it unfair for you guys as far as the amount of money that they require you guys to pay. I definitely think that, especially when 9 times out of 10, I'm not going to use 9 times out of 10, when a lot of times the man is doing financially for his child anyway. So honestly, you can fight that and say, no, I don't need you guys to take this amount of money from him because he's already doing A, B, and C. But I also believe that when the comment is made, usually by a man saying that she shouldn't use it on her car note or things like that, I think that's an inaccurate. Yeah. I don't think that's realistic for you to think that every dollar that comes in the house is not going to be used for the house. The child, he got to get to school, or she got to get to school. She got to get to the doctor. She got to drive in the car with her mother. So it shouldn't be. I think that the focus on what the money is used for, as long as she's taking care of the child and your child is not left not being taken care of. When you send her $200, she didn't get the child some gym shoes or, you know, what the child needed. As long as the child is being taken care of, I definitely think that it's the wrong mindset to dictate how the money is being spent. Now, if she comes back to you and says, two weeks later and says, oh, daycare needs to be paid for, and you know that daycare is due monthly, then I think that that's wrong. But if everything is being taken care of, you shouldn't dictate what I spend the money on, because things are being taken care of in the house. So if I use it on the DTE bill, it's used on the DTE bill. He got to have lights, she got to have lights. It's just what it is. So the money is being used. I just think that because some women have misused it in so many different ways, and on top of misused it, they only use you for an ATM, but they don't want you to make any life decisions for the child. Then I think that that's a problem, because you can't say, hey, give me your money, give me a direct deposit, but then I can't make a decision on where the child should go to school. I can't make a decision what sport the child play. Now that I think is wrong.
Right.
Unfortunately, you do have some women that I think that abuse what child support is for. And I'll be 1,000% transparent. As a woman, that has three children and collects child support, I allocate those funds solely to my boys. Sometimes I, as a woman, as a single woman, I think that the child support is laughable, right? But that's just my opinion. Am I going to go through the hassle of taking somebody back to court and trying to up an amount? Absolutely not. That's why mommy works two jobs, to make it happen and to pick up where we are lacking. But there are a lot of fathers as well that know that they're not paying a lot of money in child support. And they think in their minds, not all, but some think that what they pay in child support is sufficient enough, that nothing else has to be done outside of that amount, and that you are supposed to make magic happen with pennies. And that's insulting as a woman as well. But then when you hear about men that want to be a part, that are paying child support, that are buying things out of those funds and spending time and taking their kids on trips, it's just like, well, wow. You know, it makes you angry at the women that really, in essence, like, have a free ticket. Absolutely. I think it's disgusting for a woman. And I love my fellow sister, that goes without saying, but I don't think the child support is for you to go and get your hair done. I don't think child support is for you to go and get your nails done. That has nothing to do with the care of your child. Now, things like light bills, grocery bills, taking the kids on a special trip, putting gas in your car to make sure you get them back and forth, all of that encompasses taking care of your child. But to take that money and use it for your own personal selfish needs is disgusting to me. That's just my opinion.
And what totally do you do about this when you give this money a month, this large amount of money a month, and mm-hmm. all sewn up into your bills, and then you're calling me like, hey, you know, I need the X, Y, and Z for this karate class. And for me, I'm like,
it's a no.
You can say it would be a no.
Child support money,
it would be, that's a no.
$1,000. Like, mm-hmm. no. And then after no. that.
I don't think you guys are wrong for saying no, because you do have. You have to make sure that you're taking care of home where you are. So yeah, if that woman is irresponsible with money, number one, or if they're doing things like using it for their personal needs, then no, it's just a no. It's just that simple, a no. And mm-hmm. you don't gotta go, I don't think it's necessary to go into detail of what the no is for. Now, I'll use my situation, for example, with my kid's father. I dictate what they can and can't do, because he lacks in so many areas. Even when I give him some room to do what he should do, there's too many areas that he lacks in that causes issues, okay? So where I can't allow you to dictate as an equal partner, as an equal parent. I can't, because you don't give that. What did O say? We watch.
Yes.
What the type of time you give. We watch the type of things that you do. We watch how you move as a parent. And because you don't move consistently as a parent, mm-hmm. then I can't give you equal rights.
Right.
No. Sometimes the only thing the other parent has to offer is money, because the time and the lessons that they're giving and the things that they're encouraging your children to do is not worth them having the 50-50. Sometimes the money is sufficient enough. It's sufficient enough. Thanks for the cash, and we'll see you whenever you want to be bothered, type thing.
But I kind of agree with that, because who says, like, because it's kind of like if you're determining everything they're doing, who says your stuff is right? Not in your situation, but
no,
what if you're trying to do, okay, you only can do this because I see you're lacking in this area.
Mm-hmm.
Just because you feel I'm lacking in this area, that's not, I could feel that I'm not lacking in that area. And that has nothing to do with
the conflict.
Care of my daughter.
I agree.
That should have no effect on it.
But here's why it sometimes has effect on it. Because if I look to you to, if I rely on you to pay daycare tuition, if I rely on you to make sure that every month a certain thing is done, if I rely on you to make sure that my child has somewhere secure to sleep, if I rely on you to be a stable parent, and you fail consistently, then you have violated the equal rights.
So yeah, you have to show yourself trustworthy for that.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So let's talk about, since we're talking about that, let's talk about visitation. What do you guys think for, okay, because that's a good point that you just brought up. Because he's absolutely right that we talked about this on the last show about the co-parenting. What I may see fit, what I may think is you should be doing as a father, is not what maybe you're inadequate in that area. You haven't learned that yet. Maybe you haven't got to that level of maturity yet, where you know how to plan a trip and take your child on a trip, where you know how to do certain things. Because sometimes fathers don't even know how to adequately spend time with their children. They don't know how, because they're used to the mother navigating that part of everything, right? When it comes to visitation, what do you think equal visitation means? Whereas the mother wants to dictate when you can keep your children. How do you guys feel about that? We can start with Cortez.
I feel it should never be a dictatorship when you come to spend the time with the child. If you want to spend time with the child, then that should just be simple as that. You should have your equal time for it. If you want to do something, long as y'all have it has to always be an understanding and communication. But long as y'all communicate with the game plan and everything and stick to it, then it should never be an issue. If it's the court order, Absolutely. Okay, then stick with the court order. Okay, take your time, and it should be no stipulation. Okay, you got the court order, but you only can do this. No, it's we already went to court. We got that established. This is what I'm about to pick her up, and I don't I don't need you to call me all day and see what we doing and try to check on me. We good. She's safe. They're safe. Kids are safe. So let me say, so if it's already established, then you keep the established time. But for me, I feel equal time, especially if the father, if both parents wants to be in the child's life, then equal time. I feel it'll give both parents a break, so it's not all on the mother. If y'all doing, like you say, every other week, okay, so that mother has a whole week for a break, rather than she only giving her every weekend or so. So you only get every other weekend. That's a lot of stress on the mother. So that's even kind of helping the mother out as well.
Right.
B. So this is gonna be our last question. So B, that one I want you to answer that one too.
I feel like it should be equal as well. Like, as far as court orders go, there's, as long as it's proper communication, we can go outside of the court orders if need be. Absolutely. Like, hey, listen, I want to spend some extra time with my kids. That shouldn't be a problem. And that's happened before. However, it happened when she was having a happy day, not when I just wanted something to happen. It was always some type of game being played, you know, in between me trying to get my kids extra time. Or, like, for instance, let's say it was court ordered for me to get them on a certain weekend, right? I get ready to get them on that weekend. Is your wife going to be around? Why does that matter? It's my parenting time. I should be able to get my kids regardless, you know? So, it's worked out, but it's also went south before, where court orders were broken. Took her to court. Things didn't go exactly the way I thought they would, but, you know, they gave her a little slap on the hand and we proceeded, and then it just kind of went back and forth after a while. But I definitely feel like you should be able to get your kids as much as you would like to. You could say, all right, all day, you could say, you know, I was a horrible husband. Cool. But I was never a horrible father, so don't take that away from me. Because at the end of the day, the kids need both parents. You know, it's not cool that they're just with you or my mother, and then you two formed an alliance, and I'm being X'd out because you're still mad. That shouldn't be happening. I understand that I messed up as a husband. I apologize for that. But you know I'm going to be there for these kids. So let me be there for these kids.
Yeah.
And that's where I stand with it.
Yeah. I agree with the fellas on this one. Definitely a 50-50 split. I mean, I've been screaming this the whole show. So I know there's, you know, some dads who really didn't do their job in the process when they, you know, in the beginning. So I know and I understand a woman may feel like their time should be dictated, and oftentimes it should be. Because if you just got a dad who was just in and out of the house and there was no interaction with the kids, he didn't really do no discipline, he didn't really do no structure, nothing, then yeah, you might want to be every other weekend with dude. Because it's like, for a woman to think, they're like, well, you know, if he's with the kids, or he, is he going to actually spend time with them, or are they just going to be sitting in the room while he's just in there playing the game? So I can understand that. But a father like B, you know, myself, a person who has done, in my opinion, just as much as my co-parent, I feel as though I should be 50-50 custodial, not joint, not just joint, but 50-50 custodial. Because I did, I've done just amount of account. I'm taking accountability for myself. I did just as much as nurturing as she did. She couldn't even put him to sleep. That was me. It was my shoulder that was the only one that my son would lay his head on and go to sleep. And she didn't have to worry about trying to put him to sleep. It was a lot of factors and things that she didn't even have to do, but it was me there. So for me, a guy like me, I need 50-50 custodial. Ain't no child support, none of that. You do your part financially on your end over there, and I'm going to do my part financially on my end over here. Now, if you can't take care of him and financially on your end, then you give me the custodialship, and you have the weekends, and you can be the weekend mom, and I'll just solely take, you know, over as the, you know, custodial main parent, and we go from there. But I should never, it should never be just solely just dictated on a woman to dictate for a man on when he should see his kids, because it took two of us to have his child. Period.
Absolutely.
You know, without
this
us.
This is an amazing show, guys.
Without us. There's no turkey in the oven. There's nothing. So
absolutely,
it has to be some sort of equality in this whole teamwork situation. Everything to go
and
right.
Go back to when you say you put him on your shoulder. You're the only way you can rock him to sleep. So we can be the nurturers too. If we have
exactly.
To do it.
Exactly. And a lot of times, a lot of men does have a nurturing factor because we were raised by women. I was raised by my mom. I was mostly with my grandmother a lot. I was more so with my grandmother than I was with my mom. So with my mom, my sisters, female cousins, we were always around women, aunts. So we have a nurturing capability because we've learned that by being around these women. So we just got to have the chance to show it and bring it out. But if you just take in, you giving me every other weekend, how can I honestly be a father to a 9-year-old every other weekend? FaceTime and text messages? That ain't cool. I can't be a father like that. Can't teach him nothing. Because if I teach him something on the weekend, it's going to get unlearned and go to his mama's house.
Absolutely.
I totally agree. Well, guys, listen, this is an amazing show. We did go a little bit over, but Charlie knew that this was a necessary show for fathers to have that time to be able to talk about a father's equal rights. So we're going to wrap up here. I thank you guys for joining us on Uncomfortable Conversations podcast, B and Lo.
Thank you.
Oh,
thank you
know
for
it's
having
always
me.
A
yes.
Pleasure. Thank you to my brother.
Thank you.
For being here. Guys, today's show was amazing. I'm so glad that everybody tuned in. We will continue our co-parenting series. We do have the women going to come up next. So we'll get that, get the women, and they'll be able to talk and have a safe space as well. And it'll be no bashing you guys. So don't think they're going to come on here and be able to bash y'all, because y'all know
what
I'm having.
The same rules.
So, I'm not having. So guys, listen. If you guys are interested in sponsoring your business, your organization, or advertising with My Sister Circle, I want you guys to make sure that you get with me or O. You can even get with Charlie. We do have a website that you can actually put that information in if Charlie, you want to put that website up. And then, guys, I want you guys to tune in every Tuesday at 8 p.m.
Yes.
Is it every Tuesday at 8 p.m.? Yes. For Uncomfortable Conversations, guys. Listen, they talk about real uncomfortable things, so I want you guys to tap in with Uncomfortable Conversations. You can find them on Facebook, and you can find them on Instagram. You guys have a wonderful, wonderful Thursday night, and I look forward to seeing you guys next week. Remember, there's no competition in sisterhood, and always, always be willing to fix your sister's crown. Have a good night, guys.
This program has been brought to you by The Marquardt Law Firm, former prosecutor and experienced aggressive criminal defense attorney, specializing in violent crimes, drug crimes, weapon crimes, murder, fraud, white-collar crimes, DUI, and much more. Fighting vigorously to win every case at trial, call 248-545-5290. Call the offices of Marquardt now.
No matter who you are, no matter where you come from, there is a force that unites us all. Join the movement and let your lips do the talking with Aide Cosmetics, available on aidecosmetics.com.